Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 122. It is the week of February 25th, 2011. And welcome to the show. Appreciate you downloading the podcast this week. Coming up on the third anniversary of the podcast, which is going to be in early March. And what I think I'm going to do is pull out episode number one from the archives and revisit that and maybe have a little fun with poking fun at myself. Podcast has evolved a little bit over the last 3 years. And the first one, I was just listening to it a few minutes ago just to see if it was still appropriate. And I did the first podcast for Running in the Center of the Universe 4 days after, I think it was my third marathon back in 2008, and which was the BNA Trail Marathon. And it's kind of fitting that I'm getting ready to do that one again this year on March 6th, just a couple weeks away. This episode, the title of this episode is called Nostalgia, and the reason for that is I've got a couple things that I experienced over the last, since the last show that made me feel nostalgic for some things that happened earlier in my life. First and foremost, and none of them had anything to do with running, although one involved running, but it involved kicking a ball as well. The other has nothing to do with running. But I'll just hit on these things kind of quickly because they're kind of neat. A friend of mine who lives in Greensboro, North Carolina, his name is Big Al. We've stayed in touch over the years since we both got out of high school in 1987. And we played soccer together for many years before high school, on up through high school. And he went off to play in college, which I just played intramurals in college. And actually, I broke a guy's leg one time in college, and it was a really disturbing thing because I didn't intentionally do it, but everybody thought I did. Anyway, that's a whole different story. I'm not really sure why I just thought of that. Just I really don't like the mental image of that guy's leg being broken because it wasn't good. Anyway, Al's father was on the cutting edge of technology back in the 80s, and that's when the VHS camera had come out. Now, there had been, I think, Betamax, or maybe not. I can't really remember, but it was back when people had the big cameras they put on their shoulder and it had a full VHS tape in it. So as a result, his father would get up in the press box of our soccer games and videotape most of the games. And Al, we had traded some emails over the years, and he had told me that he had found some of these old tapes, or had found an old tape, and I had told him how cool it would be, for me to watch them. Make me think of our high school days, because we were a pretty good high school soccer team. We won our district 2 years while we played varsity, and we never won the region, I don't think. I think we did. We were district champions twice, which was a pretty big deal because it was a very competitive district that we were in, from what I remember. Anyway, so I had been advocating to Al to send me the tapes, and apparently he had a hard time finding them again, and he's got sons that are much older than my kids, so he had said how much fun it was to watch one of the tapes, and how, because his sons play soccer, and they thought it was funny to watch their dad playing. So anyway, the other day in the mail, I get, last week in the mail, I get a box, and it's from Al, and it's got a VHS tape in it of one of our games. Only problem was is I don't have a VHS VCR player anymore. I mean, we just have DVD, and I don't even know whatever happened to our VHS player, although we still have VHS tapes. So I needed to convert that. Well, I had a buddy at work who did that for me real quick because I wanted to get this tape sent back to Al because, these things can go on for a while. It's kind of like borrowing a paperback book, you really don't ever get it back. So I wanted to get him the tape back, and I wanted to be able to watch the, you know, watch myself play. And so got it converted to DVD, came home, watched it. You know, it was two 40-minute halves is what we played. And I still had some moves. I was pretty impressed. And it was a week before my birthday in 1987. So I was 1986. I was still 16. And it was really fun to watch our team play. And we ended up winning the game. I don't have any recollection of that specific game at all other than watching it on the tape. But it was really cool. And anyway, that was a bit of nostalgia. And funny that what followed up that was I'm still exploring this great development of technology called streaming Netflix through my new Wii that Santa Claus brought to our house. And I think my wife had an ulterior motive when she asked Santa Claus for a Wii because she wanted to be able to get the Netflix streaming through the Wii instead of having to, you know, send the DVDs. And it's an amazing thing. And they don't have all the latest movies, but boy, they got a lot of cool documentaries. So I was exploring the various movies that they had, and if you don't watch that, you can spend a good 20 minutes exploring just, you know, movies. And anyway, there's a movie called The King of Kong, and it was The King of Kong, colon, A Fistful of Dollar, or Fistful of Quarters. And if you have not seen this movie and you have any admiration for the stand-up video game or the tabletop video game Donkey Kong back from the 80s, you've got to check out this movie because it's all about Donkey Kong. And I was a Donkey Kong fan growing up. We used to ride. We could play Donkey Kong in two different arcades accessible by bike from where I grew up. One was a stand-up machine, and the other was a tabletop machine. And if you're a Donkey Kong fan, then you'll know the difference between the two. Now, Pac-Man had the same setup in some arcades. But Donkey Kong was my game, and that was the game that I got really good at, and I consider myself good at it. I could clear 100,000 points and get to some of the upper screens. I even made it to the conveyor belt screen one time, which I think is the farthest I ever got, and just by learning how to do it, which, you know, obviously cost a lot of money. But anyway, the movie was about these two guys that were challenging each other to the highest score possible on Donkey Kong, and while... You know, I'm not going to give away the movie or, you know, I don't want to keep you in suspense. But they went to a contest, and there was also a lady there who was a Q-Bert fan. And this was an elderly lady. She was the best at Q-Bert. I don't know if you remember Q-Bert, but that was kind of a graphical game. It wasn't really a killing game or anything. Anyway, the two guys were Steve Wiebe and Billy Mitchell. And it was a pretty cool movie. And that made me feel real nostalgic about the days of riding up to the arcade and spending the afternoon at the arcade and drinking sodas. And man, we used to go to a bowling alley that had Donkey Kong. See, what would happen? Donkey Kong was sometimes in these obscure places that you had to seek out. And if, you know, if drugstores didn't want kids hanging around a video machine all afternoon, then they shouldn't put the machine in their store. But man, those things really made some money. And it was just really interesting to watch these two guys go through their emotions towards the game, towards a stand-up video game. Anyway, the movie's called The King of Kong. The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. It's available on Netflix near you. A couple other things I want to hit on before I get to the main 5 minutes of the show. Tom Grant, who is one of my main running buddies here in town, his wife ran her first marathon this past weekend at Myrtle Beach. Incredible 4 hours, 13 minutes finishing time, which makes me envious. Anyway, way to go, Jill. Well done. She was very methodical to her training. She had the benefit of Tom coaching her along the way. And she also had several fans that went down, including her kids. Some of her girlfriends went down to support her. And this year, Snugs, you'll know that there was no snow at Myrtle Beach, so they didn't cancel the race this year. They canceled it last year when my buddy Snuggy Bear went down there. So, Jill, congratulations. I don't think you're a listener to the show, but I know your husband Tom is. So, Tom, please pass on my congratulations. All right, a little training update. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a training update. I'll do a race director's update, and then I'm going to talk about my main part of the show, which is just going to be a few minutes, just some thoughts I had about, you know, why I run. And then towards the end of the show, I'll be getting to these 15 or so emails. We're still doing the campaign for Stand Up and Be Counted. I'm trying to kind of do an inventory of listeners to see who listens and where they're from, and I've gotten a real good response. Just a quick count, what I've heard from, let's see, I've been keeping track of this because it's definitely been worth doing it. I've heard from about 28 people that listen to the show, and from all over the place, and that's really cool. I'll be hitting on all those names in a few, probably the anniversary show. But in the meantime, I'll hit on some of the emails that I've got. Training update. I'm really hitting on some high mileage now, some high mileage for my ability level. High mileage for me is anything over 35 miles a week. I'm kind of a big guy, and so I'm not, you know, it's not easy for me to go out there and knock out these 15, 20 mile training runs and then, do activities the rest of the day. That pretty much puts me out for the day. But last week I cleared 44 miles, which was pretty cool. Week before that was 40. Week before that was 35. That included the 50K. This week is 48, and then I fall back. Now I've got a marathon on March 6th, which is on a Sunday. And what I've been doing is doing with the double long run sandwich, which is, if you haven't heard me say this before, it's the double long runs, kind of weekend warrior stuff. You know, long run on Saturday. Half the distance on Sunday. So I do, like this past weekend, did 18 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday, and then I'll sandwich that with rest days on Friday and Monday. With the marathon being on a Sunday, I can't do a fallback run the following day. But I still need to do double long runs. And with my strategy, which I haven't totally developed yet for the March 6th marathon, which is the one up in Annapolis, I think what I might do is do 10 on Saturday, drive up, and then run the marathon Sunday, and that'll give me 36 for the weekend, and then I might just run once during that week, because my long runs have not exceeded 20 miles yet on the weekend, but the two long runs together, they have. Now, in the program that I'm following, there is a fallback, which is the week of the marathon, so I'm going to actually probably switch that out. I'm not really sure what I'm kind of rambling right now. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. All I know is I've got a crap load of miles that I'm running each week, and so far I'm keeping up with it. So what I'm going to do, I want to talk about this past weekend for a second, because my body went through kind of a remarkable transition, and this was a 44-mile week. So I did a 4-6-6. That was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 miles on Tuesday, 6 on Wednesday, 6 Thursday. I think that, and then add that to 18 and then 10, I think that makes up 44. If it doesn't, then I didn't get the weekday runs right. But anyway, got up Saturday morning, did the 18 with some local folks, and that was pretty hard. I had a hard time with that. I'm not really sure why. I just was not an injury type of hurting, but just kind of hurting all over. And then that night was my dad's 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. I know sometimes you listen to the show. And we had a hell of a time, but I was on my feet all evening. But I did rest during that afternoon. Well, you know, I had to do 10 miles the next day. Now, last time when I followed this program, I think I was shaving it off here and there because I just could not handle a 10-mile training run after doing, you know, 15, 16-plus miles the day before. But I was determined this time. Now, what I did is I decided to run a different route. I ran down Route 1. We have I'm sure everybody out there's probably heard of this outdoor shop called Bass Pro Shops. But we have one here in Hanover County. And it's situated on a road that has a nice sidewalk and it's kind of rolling. And it's a double lane road, two lanes in each direction with a median. And I always thought that it would be a nice place to run. So I decided I was going to run 5 miles out and 5 miles back, and I never even thought about, you know, the wind. It was a pretty windy day. Well, I get out 5 miles, and I wasn't really enjoying the run that much. It was just, I felt like I was just doing the miles just to get the 44 in, and because that's what the program said. And frankly, I was not feeling very good because I was still hurting from the day before, but that's the whole point of the double long runs, is to run on those depleted legs and run on those tired, hurting legs that do hurt. Because that's how you're going to feel at the tail end of a 50-mile race, because I've been there before. I already know that. Well, anyway, I turned around at the 5-mile mark, and it was a nice run through there. But then, boy, right into the headwind the whole way home. And there were a couple times where the wind was blowing so hard, I couldn't even hear my iPod, and I had it turned up pretty loud. And it was just getting bothersome, and, you know, thoughts that went through my head of, you know, going and finding, if I didn't have a phone with me, and going inside Bass Pro Shops and asking somebody just to call my wife and tell her to come pick me up, because I was so frustrated because I was just running into this headwind. But I stuck it out, and it made me angry. I was an angry runner, just running with just not enjoying it at all. And I just remember thinking how much I was going to be hurting the next day. I finally made it home, just didn't really enjoy it. Then had to turn around and go help out, break down a stage for the Ashland Variety Show that's coming up next month. But that took a little bit longer than I thought. Anyway, I'm boring myself again. I'm yawning. Anyway, finally got home, got off my feet, and just rested the rest of the evening. Woke up for work Monday and felt absolutely fine. I was just for sure thinking I was going to be sore and hurting, but I wasn't. And my recovery was good, and that was the remarkable transition that I had mentioned earlier. Is I felt pretty darn good, and I did not hurt getting in and out of the car like I thought I would. So I did my first training run of the week, and that wasn't too bad either. So we'll see. I think I'm gonna survive. I think there's hope that I'm holding together. I remember the last time I trained for a 50 miler, when I got close to the 50 miles for the week, that was my breaking point, where I was starting to question if I could hold on or not. So anyway, that's a training update. I'm doing okay. All right, let me get into kind of the meat of the show. It's only going to take about 5 minutes to talk about, and then I'll hit on the race director's update for the Ashland Railroad Run 10K, and then I'll get to the emails. Sometimes I look for inspiration within, and I don't know what others do, but I seek out podcasts about running, people that talk about it, things that inspire them, and I'm not the kind of person that gets inspired by the shortcomings of other people, meaning people who are sick, and I don't raise money. I'm not that kind of person where I run to raise money. I got nothing against it. It's just not something I ever embraced, or I kind of do it for my own liberation from my own problems. And it is kind of late. Maybe I should knock this out and go to bed, but I think it's important. So sometimes I look for inspiration from within, and I try to, like, when I with experiment with this ultra marathoning stuff, because I'm just a regular, ordinary, middle of the pack nobody. I mean, believe me when I say that, I don't win anything. I'm usually almost in last place with some of these smaller ultras I've run, and there's a real chance that down at the Keys race in the Florida Keys, I could very well have the slowest 50-mile time. But anyway, I think the reason I do that stuff is I'd like to be great at something. And I think, isn't that what we all want to do? Don't we all want to be great at something and have other people say, man, you know, God, he's really good at that, and he must really like doing that. And I think that might be why I started exploring the ultra marathon distance, and have done, close to half of my marathons are ultra marathons now, I guess, maybe just quite under half of the 16 marathons I've done. I guess I've done five. That's way under half. Anyway, so I was kind of reflecting within myself, wondering why I do it. And I think, you know, and being totally honest, is I think I just want to be great at something. And I don't think that really sounds arrogant, because if it's a real feeling, and I don't think I'm any better than other people. And when I say great, I think I'm great at digging it out to the finish. I think I'm good at that, because I have a hard time out there with those long distances, but I haven't given up yet. And I think that's, isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want to be thought of as great at something, whether it's being a father or a coach, or, you know, a worker, or a a producer or whatever you do, salesperson, if you're, you know, if you problem solve, I think you always want to be great at something. So when with my running, you know, I want to be great at it. And I found that, you know, I like the marathoning, but I'm just this sounds really bad, but finishing a marathon is a great feeling, but it feels greater to me to finish like a 50K. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's a smaller event and it's not the norm. I don't know. That's just some honest reflection, and not even 5 minutes worth. I kind of wanted to do almost a whole show on that, but I don't really know. I haven't really reflected on it enough to know what I really want to say. But maybe you can, if you're listening to the show, you can relate that, you know, if you do these extraordinary distances, you know, marathon and beyond, and you really ask yourself, what are you doing it for? Maybe that's part of why you're doing it, is because you want to be great at something too, and you want to be great at distance running. And maybe you're not a Boston qualifier like me. I mean, I'm not a Boston qualifier. Maybe you're like that, and maybe you'll never make that. But you know, you're great at finishing the marathon because you don't give up. And lots of people do. I mean, they do. And next time you run your marathon towards the end, look at, there are people that don't finish it. They just give up. They walk. They take their shoes off. I mean, to me, that's analogous to going crazy and taking your clothes off and freaking out. I mean, why do you take your shoes off in a marathon? I've seen it. So, I saw it in Richmond last year. A guy coming down, he had the shoes around his neck, tied with their laces, and I guess his feet were really hurting, but God, they had to hurt more with the shoes off. Anyway, I don't know if that makes any sense. That's what the podcast is for. It's my show, so I guess I can put out crazy babble information. All right, let's move on to the race director's update, since that wasn't really what I wanted it to be. as I've stated many times before, I am the co-race director for the Ashland Railroad Run 10K race, which will be April 30th of 2011. It's in its 33rd year, and we have decided on our t-shirt design, which is pretty exciting. We're going to make the design smaller this year to fit over like an imaginary breast pocket. Years past, the logo has filled the whole front of the shirt, and in our race committee meeting, we had a real good discussion about how we never see anybody wearing the shirts. So we've decided to make the logo smaller, and we've chosen gray, Heather Gray is, I guess, what the true color is, to see if people like them more. Now, it is considered a green race. We're trying to minimize the impact of wasting paper and all the other crap that you get when you go to, quote, packet pickup. We are going to just have bib pickup, and if you want safety, you know, and then we'll have some flyers there for other races if people give them to us. But we're just not going to try to use a whole lot of material because it really just gets thrown away. And certainly no plastic bags, because all they do is blow and get stuck up on fences. And anyway, don't get me started on litter, because I could go on for a good hour. I'm actually trying to catch a litter bug here in town, someone who's throwing natural light cans out on my block on a regular basis, and I'm going to try to figure out who it is. Yeah, that's a tangent. So we've decided on the shirt. We've got a professional company going to be doing our chip timing, KaleRunning.com. I've got a contract with them. We've got a 5K, 1 mile kids race. I've got a lady who's going to coordinate the kids race. It's going to be pretty cool. And an idea that we had, and I'm going to copy this from a guy that I wish I could remember his name. I was listening to a podcast about him last week, and I think it was on Endurance Planet. And what he did in one of the races is that he handed out American flags to everybody as they came down the finishing chute. And I thought that was a good idea. So what I'm thinking about we might do with the kids race, and this is just a suggestion I'm giving to that subcommittee head, who's doing the kids race, it's just a kids 1 mile fun run, is giving them flags on the way in. The only thing I would, you know, there's little flags. I guess we could probably afford to buy, you know, 100 of those, because I think kids race has about 100 kids. The only thing that I worry about is that the kids will drop them and they'll end up on the ground. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Other stuff we got to come up with we got to get the course marshals all organized. We got to deal with the police. Get a crap load of cones brought into the town to mark off the road. we're pretty much on top of stuff. We've got awards. We got a lady who makes the awards, and I got to find out how much we got to pay her. And it's just every week I try to take a few new things. The biggest problem we've had is getting the registration form updated because we've had to change a few things from the original registration. I'm going to have a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com where you can go to that website. Look on the sidebar. It'll say Ashland Railroad Run 10K. That'll take you to the registration form if you're curious about what I'm talking about. And the reason is because we had to, with our contract with Kale Running, you have to put their logo. I mean, it's pretty clever on their part. Part of the contract requires the client to put their logo on all their printed material, and the registration form could potentially be printed out. So we had to change that. We also got rid of the Thursday night packet pickup because it just didn't make sense to have people out at the Arts and Activities Center on Thursday night and Friday night, because the Kale Running people are only going to be there Friday night to enter data for people that enter, so it hooks up with their chip. So we made a few changes, and it is one of those races where if you don't want a T-shirt, you can deduct $5. So we've got another committee meeting on March 1st, which I'm pretty excited about, and kind of looking forward to getting this thing over with. I mean, it's fun to organize, but I'm really curious to see how it all comes together on race day. Last year, I had a front row seat helping Tammy because I was the one that redesigned the course, and we're going to be using the same certified course this year. But now I've got a lot more responsibility, and thankfully Tammy's still involved. But we're going to, need a lot of help from folks, and you really just got to rely on other people to be there, I guess, which is the biggest part that worries me is what if a couple people get sick and don't show up and they're your key people? What do you do? It's kind of hard to have contingency plans. So anyway, I'll give another race director's update in the next show. Okay, well, let's get to the email bag section of the show. All right, got a lot of emails over the last couple weeks, and what I've done is I have not gone back to read the... I reply to all emails, and that's at ashlanddave@gmail.com, but what I haven't done is gone back and reviewed them before I'm getting ready to look at them now, so you have to bear with me a little bit. That's the Stand Up and Be Counted. Also, most of these emails are for that. That's the campaign to kind of get an idea of who the listeners are and where they're from, and I've heard from several. I think up to this point it had been around 28, but I think it's going to be a lot more after this volley of emails. Heard from Christina out of Arizona, and kind of interesting about Christina. She's got her own blog at Lazy Bones Running, blogspot.com or some variation of that. She has done some research on sweat glands in the feet, and apparently each foot has 250,000 sweat glands. She has given me some really good advice on, or some methods to try to save my feet when I do the 50. So I'm going to probably practice with some of that stuff or experiment a little bit with some of those techniques. One is to actually use an antiperspirant spray to see how that works. So thanks, Christina. Appreciate you checking in. And I think I've already got you on the list somewhere. Out of Chandler, Arizona. So we've got her. Anyway, thanks for sending in the email, Christina. And I appreciate all those links. I'm actually going to save those, and I'll look those up as I get closer. Heard from, let's see, this is John. Now, John, don't know where he lives now. But he lived in Petersburg, Virginia for a while he was in the Navy, so he's familiar with the Richmond area. And he did want the nasty foot pics, so he got those, and I don't think I heard back from him after I sent them. But those are available. It shows you just how bad the feet can look when you add heat, friction, and moisture. And that's what put me out of commission for a while. I actually had to crawl up the steps. So... anyway, John, thanks for the email. Appreciate you listening to the show, as always. Let's see, heard from Sandy. And we've already heard from Sandy. She's out of Michigan. But she's has to do a lot of treadmill running because of the cold up in Michigan. And she is actually considering a 100-mile run at some point in the future. So, Sandy, good luck with that. I'm sure we'll probably touch base I'll have lots of questions for you about your training on that. I heard from Dave out of Greenville, South Carolina, and I think I might have already heard from him before.
Yes.
He says that they're about 3 weeks in the summer down in South Carolina, when the only way to do a long run is at dark 30 in the morning, strapped with a camelback full of ice cubes. So, because I know it gets really hot down there. Anyway, Dave, thanks for the email. I heard from Tony out of Americus, Kansas, and he has been running for 15 years. He's done four marathons, Boston twice. His current PR is a 3 hours, 11 second marathon, which is, so he's obviously looking to break through the elusive 3 hour barrier. He's doing the Eisenhower Marathon in Abilene, Kansas on April 9th. So I wish you the best on that, Tony. And he really likes the show. So this is a good example of someone who's practically an elite runner, can still enjoy a podcast done by ordinary middle of the pack nobody. So Tony, appreciate you taking the time to write in the email. I'll definitely put you in there for the stand up and be counted. I really do appreciate that, and appreciate you sending in the email. Got a comment on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com from Tom. Let's see. He said a quote from someone about ultra running is that misery loves company, but stupidity loves it even more. So he was commenting on the from episode 120. I guess that was for the the ultra that we did. Tom, is that what you were commenting on, the 8 hour race? Tom's one of my regular running partners here in Ashland. I talk about him all the time. Let's see. Heard from Aaron. And don't know where he's from because he didn't indicate on here, but it might be in the Pennsylvania area because he ran the Steamtown Marathon on a 3:31, which is awesome. And he did this Mega Transect, which I looked that up, and it looked like to be some time an adventure race. It looked like it was pretty fun. He's trying to do 250Ks this spring. He's to start his ultra journey along with the Pittsburgh Marathon, which is his hometown. So he's out of Pittsburgh and absolutely loves the podcast. So, Aaron, appreciate you sending in the email. And I'm going to really enjoy that compliment where you said how you enjoyed the realness that the podcast offers. It is. And I've said this before, and I appreciate you saying that, Aaron. I just like doing the podcast because I like sharing information with people, and I don't develop any new information on my own, and I don't prescribe to think, or I don't know what the word is. I don't assume to think I know everything because I'm always learning from other people, especially with the sweat glands and the feet. That's something I really need to get to know a little bit better. But anyway, Aaron, thanks for the compliment on that. I really do appreciate it. It's nice of you to say that. Let's see. Robert he's out of Holly Springs, North Carolina, and he runs races at all differences. He's done six marathons with a 3:45 PR, and he's completed a 50K and attempted a 50 miler, but didn't finish. And he's going to try another 50 miler or a 12 hour run later this year. And I think I emailed him again, and he said the 50 miler that he attempted was the Bull Run 50, which is held in, I think it's Manassas, Virginia, not far from here. And my friend Tom got into that. You know, he went out too fast, DNF'd at the 35-mile mark. And he said even though he had read a lot about other people's experiences doing 50s, it was just a hot day, and it just, you know, he wasn't able to make it. So it looks like he is considering doing the Keys race at some point in the future. So anyway, Robert, thanks for writing in. I really do appreciate that. Sometimes I'm not able to share the whole email on the show, just simply because it's hard to skim it the whole way, and I want to kind of keep the emails brief. But I do read them all, you guys that send them in. And if you send in an email, then you've obviously noticed that I always email back. I heard from Adam. He's down in Arizona too, and he's the guy that knows Christina. He's got his own blog at theboardandrunner.com. Very funny blog. I've mentioned this before. He's got one of those senses of humor that, in my opinion, is just right on time. And anyway, he wanted to email me about a couple funny things. He likes the double long run sandwich idea, and I think he came up with the term the Big Mac or something like that. And He likes the. He also likes the fact that I'm the kind of guy that's unapologetic about drinking a beer and going for a run. We probably have a good time hanging out at some point. Well, you know, Adam, if I'm ever down in Arizona, I'm definitely going to look you guys up because you've been very nice. And, yeah, I think it'd be pretty fun to sit and drink a beer with you. I'm definitely not apologetic about drinking some beers. I don't drink beers before I go for a run, but definitely usually have a couple beers after I go for a long run. It just seems to help with the carbs. So, anyway, good to hear from you, man. Appreciate it, as always. Let's see. Heard back from Tim. And he is, he was just giving me some good advice on don't waiting on the feet problems that I had. I think I mentioned those when I did the race report from the 50K or the 8-hour race. Surprisingly, Tim, my pain has gone away at this point, and that's an honest assessment. I do have a little bit of pain in my shin, which I'm a little worried about, but it's hasn't been debilitating or anything. Haven't had to stop, but the pain in my feet seems to have gone away. So appreciate the advice, and I definitely monitor that stuff. Heard from Chad, and Chad has been a listener for a while, since maybe late 2008 or 2009, and he's from Wisconsin, and he wants to thank me for putting out a quality show. He's done one marathon, two half marathons, a bunch of shorter races, and he's only been running since the fall of 2008, so he's done really well, and real short email there. So, Chad, good to hear from you. I really do appreciate it. Like I've said time and time again, I do appreciate you taking the time to send the emails. Let's see. Heard from Andrew, and Andrew is in Hong Kong. And we've been had ongoing discussion about Hong Kong. A couple of years, or 5 or 6 years ago, I took a class with a guy that was from Hong Kong. And we were talking about the suicide. With my job, I tend to deal with people that have committed suicide or have tried to. And I had saw a documentary somewhere that in Hong Kong, the people commit suicide by jumping off buildings. So I just thought Hong Kong was just this just urban area with no green space or whatever. But apparently, it couldn't be farther from the truth. And Andrew pointed that out to me. So. Andrew, appreciate that. It's good to hear from you. And yeah, man, come run the rail when you get back in the States at some point in time. It's been going on every year, and so there's really no reason why it would stop. So hopefully, you can make it back. You'd be coming to the center of the universe. Well, that's it for this week. That's gonna pretty much take care of all the emails. I've been meaning to get through some of those. I think the one from Christina, the first one I mentioned, was back from late January. Just the way it goes. Sometimes I get a bunch of emails, sometimes I don't. But if you want to send me one, it's ashlanddave@gmail.com. And tell me what you're up to, where you run, and stand up and be counted. If you're a listener to the show and you haven't, written in before, or, first-time caller, whatever you want to call it, send me an email, let me know who you are, where you're from, and I'll put you in the log. And that's kind of cool. Just kind of curious to know who listens to the show. And over the course of the almost 3 years I've been doing the show, I have gotten emails from people in all different parts of the world. However, I did not really start keeping track until just a couple weeks ago. When I say keeping track, all I do is I got a little notebook and I just write your name and your city. That's all I do. I don't even keep track of your email because I don't want you to think I'm going to try to market you or anything. With that being said, in the very near future, I will be with the hosting service for the podcast. I'll be adding an advertisement on the front or the end to the show, and that's just to offset the cost of hosting it, and maybe it'll pay for a pair of running shoes each year. We'll see. All right, well, that's the show for this week. I'm going to plug the Ashland Railroad run here in just a second with the commercial my daughter made, and... I got a big week of miles. So anyway, get out there, get your training runs in. Email me if you haven't yet. And y'all have a good week. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe. Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
2011 Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 30th for the 33rd annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This race features a flat certified course along the tracks, which is great for setting a PR. This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area. Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 30th and race the rail. For more information, go to hannaforarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. I ran the kids' race last year, and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.